Hey, do you like the Star Wars? Well, you've come to the right place because this is the Rancor Pit, and I don't even know what number it is anymore, but this is the latest episode of the Rancor Pit, and we're going to do a little heavy breathing today because myself and my co-host are, it's not that we're into heavy breathing, it's just that our topic is, and this is a topic... Eddie, would you like to reveal our mystery topic for those who haven't made the connection between Star Wars and heavy breathing?
It would be Vader later. Or no, later Vader.
Later Vader, yeah. That's the...
I'm getting mixed up with the live show, which was Vader sometime later. That's what I'm getting
that's
mixed...
right. Yes, indeed, it was. This is Later Vader, where we're going to talk about Darth Vader. For those of you who are disappointed because you thought heavy breathing in Star Wars was all about the Slave Leia pinups, apologies to you there. We'll try to squeeze in an episode of that sometime when we feel like we can talk without breathing too heavily ourselves.
We have a heavy breather with us tonight as a guest.
Wow. My apologies really, to our guest. Not a heavy, at least you said heavy breather, not mouth breather.
Oh, that's true.
For what it's worth. If our guest has not hung up on us, David Buns is joining us on the show.
Yes, I've returned.
You have?
Yes, once again.
Returned,
and my
David.
Experience, my deep knowledge of Star Wars. Yes.
This would make number three, David? Or
yes, number three.
Four if you count the call that you made to the live show.
Yeah, so
We'll count that one.
All right, we'll count that.
That was kind of like the holiday special, though. It was,
yes.
It happened, but...
The holiday special, yes.
It wasn't really part of the mainstream. So this is literally like the return of David.
Yes.
Yeah. And the return of our Vader topic. So, yeah, for the... We'll see,
Darth
with the
Vader.
The live show, we kind of did it based on Anakin... Because, which was why it was called Vader sometime later, because it was more Anakin. This is going to be more all Vader.
Yeah, in fact, I'd like to kind of avoid Anakin as much as possible in a context that, you can't really avoid him completely. But we kind of pre-Vadered it. And David had written me one time, says, if you ever do a show on Darth Vader, I'd love to be on it. And I thought, we need to do a show about Darth Vader. So welcome.
Yes.
And so let's Vader it up some.
Yeah, I apologize. Yes. We don't have an Imperial March to bring you in with, but we're trying to, Lucasfilm combined with Disney is a legal nightmare.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I was one of those people who actually bought the album, the dual album Empire Strikes Back set, and listened to that over and over again.
Was the B-side just Vader breathing? Was that one that?
No.
Okay.
Unfortunately, there was no Vader breathing, but
actually, there is when you back mask it, it's all Vader breathing.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Ironically, they actually it was one of these weird things where they got John Williams to compose the score, and then they shot the movie around it. It's the reverse. Normally, you do the score against what's actually there on screen. That way, they discovered in doing that when they were rewinding, they had this weird breathing. Like, hey, we can use this as well.
Is that it?
That is it.
God. All right.
You're not buying into this one, are you, mister?
It's like when Stan Lee would just give Jack Kirby a general idea, and Jack Kirby would draw the whole comic book, and then Stan Lee would fill in the word balloons and
That's
script
right,
and all that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this
okay.
Looks like Jack wanted me to have him say, look out, it's a monster. Sort of like, that's the high end of Stan Lee scripts back in the day. So, we are going to talk all about Darth Vader. So, David, what inspired you to say, if you ever talk about Darth Vader, bring me on the show?
So Darth Vader, Vader to me is the missing part of the original trilogy. And so that's when I really appreciated the genius of putting Vader in the first three movies and tying the movies together with a powerful protagonist that is compelling and interesting and ominous and scary. And I thought that was like a major great decision by Lucas for the original trilogy.
Well, especially when they weren't 100% that it was going to be a trilogy to start with, that you continue to carry that dynamic character, that screen presence forward.
Because it's like he shows up like pretty close to the beginning of the movie And it's like, oh my God, this guy's like, he's black and he's choking people and throwing them around and screaming like, oh, what the hell, what's going on? You know, it's just crazy.
And everybody defers to him. You know, he walks in the room, everybody rolls over like a room full of puppies.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the thing. When he makes his first appearance, he doesn't even have to do all that much. He's so imposing visually that just him stepping through.
Oh, exactly.
You see how his minions react to him. You see how the rebels react to him. Yeah, you see, it doesn't take very long for you to see the full extent of his power by lifting the sky up, you know, and just.
Well, especially when, when he first arrives and the stormtroopers are like clearing an aisle for him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, here comes Vader on a fault-finding tour. We better make this look as good as possible.
I remember in the book there was a describing that scene. It said that the stormtroopers ran off not so much because they were eager to carry out the orders, but they just wanted to get away from Vader.
That's pretty pretty awesome that they put that in the novelization.
Yeah.
That is a nice little touch. I mean, something you couldn't really necessarily convey on film without it seeming kind of tacked on. But that's the wonderful thing about a literary narrative. Is you get that little bit of further insight, that kind of internal monologue.
So then we have the evolution of Vader through the three movies, which is really interesting. Because in the first movie, like basic Vader, and you know, he's scary, it's certainly plenty to keep us busy. But then the next time you see Vader, it's like, wow, all of a sudden he's like on a mission, right?
Yeah.
Gotta find my son. You know, he's really committed. And like he becomes even more interesting.
Absolutely. Plus, he's got to still be stinging from that whole Death Star episode.
Exactly.
You know, because God knows the Emperor is stinging from that. And you bring up an interesting point about the evolution of the character throughout the three films, because by Empire, you've got, you know, Vader is presented as Tarkin's lapdog.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then you literally have to bring the Emperor in, because at this point you see Vader just balls out, just being the man, and you have to bring the Emperor in to remind people that Vader isn't behind, he's not the big guy of the Empire. He's just like second in command.
And see, that's the beautiful thing about it. I've always thought it's like they've always, in all three of the movies, they had Vader answering to somebody. And he wasn't even the top dog, and you were still that scared of him. So it always made me think about the Emperor character once Empire came around. It's like, okay, if Vader's having to answer to this guy, how bad is this other guy, the Emperor?
Yeah.
Right.
But it didn't...
Apart from his freakish eyes.
Right. The fact that he had to answer to Tarkin, and then he had to answer to Palpatine, it didn't diminish him as the big bad. You know, you were still really just, it didn't get worse than Vader.
Well, also one of the interesting scenes in Star Wars is when there's the scene where they're having the conference and they're talking about the Death Star, and Vader's kind of like stepping back from them, like, hey, don't be too proud of this thing you've constructed, right? You know, it's not that big of a deal, you know, and like, kind of implying that, well, I'm not really part of this Death Star thing, you know?
Yeah, that's true. It's like, you know, the Emperor, we kind of, you know, he signed off on it all. He's my boss, but I don't buy into this.
Yeah.
You know, I like tech as much as the next guy. Have you seen the cool ship they gave me? This is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's got one of these.
Right. He's pushing the Force. It's his faith. One guy shows disrespect. Hey, watch it. I'll kill you. You know, Vader, cut it out, stop bickering. It's like, yeah, he's like a disciple of the Force. Like, you know, hey, watch it.
Well, he's like, you know, I was there when the Force was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, back in my day, when I was a kid, that was something.
It was Wizard.
Yeah, it was Wizard. Ow, ow.
And you know what's interesting, too, is Star Wars gives you the idea that, like, Tarkin seems to think that Vader's the only one left in the universe that still knows the Force.
Yeah.
He apparently isn't aware of the Emperor's abilities in the Force. You know, like it's
that
just
is
a it's just dying out, and Vader's this old moldy guy that's still walking around doing the Force, and it's like out.
Yeah, I guess
out of date, out of style.
I guess the Emperor never, you know, of course, yeah. Palpatine is a senator.
It's a secret.
Yeah, he never let it be known he's Sith. So I guess he probably kept it hush hush. I mean, the only other person that knew was Mace Windu.
Right.
And he got chucked out a window.
One of the greatest scenes in the movie, by the way, because I thought Samuel L. Jackson was a horrible Jedi. Sorry, I'm sorry if that offends anyone, but man, that was great.
It was like, you know, what's next for Jackson? A Vulcan? I'm a Vulcan, damn it! What the hell is wrong with you? That's the most illogical thing I've ever heard! He was like the antithesis of what... Like
right.
Is talking about
the angry Jedi.
Yeah, Yoda's, you know, he's all schooling Luke on being angry, and the whole time you can see the back of his head, he's thinking of Mace Windu. A jerk, Mace was.
Oh my gosh!
Another thing that's interesting about Vader, and it's odd that I never really noticed this until, of all things, the toy line. Was making a big deal about, you know, when they would come out with like, oh, this is Vader from Return of the Jedi. It's like, yeah. And, but then I started really looking and the costume does evolve through the three movies. There are actually some wonderfully subtle changes to the armor that suggest that he's not just like dark olive oil.
Right.
You know, with a closet full of the same outfit. So it's an interesting thing. I just never really noticed that. Then you go, once you know, you start to go back and look from Star Wars to Empire to Jedi, and like, wow, he actually does kind of, you know, all these little elements change. They didn't just go pull the Vader costume out of mothballs. Like, well, the production's going to save some money off this.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say that they're going to pull the costume out of Mon Mothballs.
Oh, Mon Mothballs.
So yeah. Behind the scenes, Vader's talking to like his tech guy. I need you to fix my suit. I need to improve it.
That's right.
I need to be cooler.
That's right. It's like, maybe he has like, you know, this one was the fall because you don't want to be caught after say, you know, Labor Day. Wearing the same armor.
Oh, is that it?
I think that was it.
After Labor Day, you have to have the one that has the extra button on the chest plate. Is that what it is?
He was a fashionista. That's why he was so angry.
Yeah, yeah. If he had lived through Jedi, then in the next movie, he would have had like a belly button ring on the next armor or something like that.
He would have had the bat nipples.
The nipples, ah.
Because he would have had the Shoemaker bat nipples.
That's
the thing, apparently.
Yeah, I wouldn't know if I'd be down with that. I would have been down with that if they would have put the nipples on the next gold bikini for Leia, but that's about it.
And
oh, man.
Cue the heavy breathing.
You are over the line, mister.
Well, Disney's going to come after you.
Oh, man. Watch out.
They won't even market that anymore, so. It's sort of a combination of Star Wars and the movie Species. You talk about you could put an eye out with those.
Right,
quite
right.
Quite literally. Those headlights were on. So, wow.
Gosh.
I keep digressing that way lately. I don't know. But
Vader. So, topic is Vader.
We're back. Stay on target.
Stay on target. I was just thinking that. Stay on target. But they're right on our ass. We're going to die. Stay on target.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it's easy for him to say. Nobody's after him.
All right.
So who do you think would win in a fight between Darth Vader and Big Van Vader? No, I never
What?
Pro wrestler Big Van Vader.
So anyway, one of the things I was thinking about today
good for you.
Is precursors that's to Vader. Can anybody think of a movie character that they drew inspiration from to create Vader? Because I couldn't really think of anything clear.
He's kind of an ambiguation.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's sort of this amalgam of so many types of characters. You got the obvious influence is Ming the Merciless.
Okay.
Because Buck Rogers was what Lucas wanted to do.
Right.
And then they said, no, somebody else already got Buck Rogers. Make your own space movie. I don't know why,
make your own
why they talk like movie. That, but make your own space movie. So that's what he did. So you're drawing a little bit of influence from that. Your the armor is drawing from things like your classical, you know, the Black Knight always triumphs. You have to have your sort of your masked character that, you know, you never that has that air of mystery about him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just drawing from like the absolute worst cinematic and mythological characters ever, all kind of rolled into one. But I think you're right. That's a very valid point you bring up. You can't just say, oh, this is Lucas's fill in the blank.
You gave me an idea. I think he was mostly inspired by the Black Knight from Holy Grail. Yes,
I think so. Absolutely.
Yes.
Especially there when Luke cuts off his hand.
Yes, exactly.
And he goes, "Tis but a scratch."
I mean, I wouldn't even know who would have inspired Vader prior to Star Wars. I mean, we have no knowledge of if Lucas was a comic book fan, because then you might be able to say like maybe a Apocalypse. I mean, not Apocalypse. From DC.
We think of
Darkseid.
Darkseid. Yeah, Darkseid had been around long enough for certainly characters like Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
But even those,
yes.
Even those characters are ambiguations of that sort of, the mysterious armored knight that represents in most cases death or some implacable force.
I mean, it's possible maybe he drew inspiration from like a ring wraith,
But
I mean, the armor itself is samurai in design. Like it was modeled after a samurai armor.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Or the King of the Wicker People.
Or, yes, that wouldn't come until 1989.
All right. So. Oh, so now we know who was inspiring who.
Yeah.
The lousy Wicker People.
Right.
I hate the Wicker People. So, yeah, but that is an interesting question because I don't think you can pinpoint a sole,
right. Yeah, it's pretty unique.
Antagonist. And
is there not a character in the Hidden Fortress that lends itself to that character, to the Vader character?
Not as such. Again, I think you're drawing that very samurai armor influence because there is so much Kurosawa influence in general.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the character himself.
Maybe he got inspiration from David Prowse.
Oh, could be. You saw him at Clockwork Orange carrying that guy around in the wheelchair and thought,
yeah. Because as we all know, David Prowse is Darth Vader.
Oh, that's right.
As he likes to sign his signature every single time.
With a great big is.
Yes.
And as we also know, Darth Vader lives.
Yes, they should have kept the voice, the original voice. That was so threatening.
Yeah.
Right.
Again, go back to Clockwork Orange or the original BBC teleplay of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
My gosh.
You can see how Vader
is.
And of course, then we can mention James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
James Earl Jones, who wasn't even credited in Star Wars yet.
Oh, that's
right. For crying out loud. My goodness, he like.
Well, he didn't want it to be.
No, he didn't want to be, I'm sure. That's fine, but I mean. You know, imagine it without that voice.
Oh,
I can't imagine it's impossible. So.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
The only other voice I can see is Billy Bob Thornton. Luke, I reckon I'm your father.
But that's an interesting question. I wonder what other voice actors were up for the role, or did he immediately go to James Earl Jones?
That's actually a good question.
I don't know if there's anywhere you could find that answer. Because, you know, who was around back then necessarily, you know, would have been John Houseman. Luke, I'm your father.
I thought you were going to say.
More Thurston Howell than John Houseman, I apologize.
I thought you were going to say John Gielgud for a minute.
Oh, John Gielgud, yeah, but not as distinctive a voice.
No.
Equally distinctive actor.
What about the movie? Remember the movie trailer guy? Maybe him.
Oh, could have been, yeah. In a world. where I am your father.
Wow.
I'll never go to see that movie. But Luke, there's a world where I am your father. Or movie phone guy. Luke, I'm your father. Or here's one that I'm...
Press 5 if you want to come to the dark side.
That's right. I'm often...
And with that...
It's often pointed out that I speak like so many of us entirely...
We can tie in now to the big reveal. The big reveal in Empire.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. The moment. The apex of the trilogy.
This was a crescendo that was quite contentious.
Yes.
And I'm beginning to unravel the real reasoning behind you wanting to do a Vader episode, David.
Oh, really?
I don't have anything to do with my contention that Vader, which if you watch it absent the knowledge, you know, it's impossible to really watch it without already knowing, well, you know, I know what he's going to say next, but if you look at it from the standpoint of just erasing Jedi from your thoughts, Vader seems to be throwing out every possible hook that he can to catch Luke. Mm-hmm. He is casting a wider and wider net, and the Luke, I'm your father thing almost seems more like a desperate, you know, the last act of a desperate man.
Yes.
I don't care if it's the first act of Henry V, we're out of here. It really played that way, and I spent the ensuing 3 years convincing myself that I had figured it out. I'd solved the riddle of Vader. It's all just a bunch of bullshit, and he had his chance, and Luke refused him. Except that that wasn't the case. And David was right.
Yes, I was. So much so that we argued it during Return of the Jedi. Insane. It was insane, I tell you.
This was such a...
It was madness.
It was so hotly contested that we were literally in the theater.
Steve's like, shut up!
I'm trying to watch the show. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that we're going to have...
You idiots.
We have to hash this out. I have to defend my point that's been destroyed and turned me into Captain Kirk.
Gosh. Well, the thing about Vader, you know, if we want to pull out of the movie and back into like the pop culture and the real world and all that, at the time when it was revealed that Vader was Luke's father, I mean, that was a big deal. So big of a deal that, and this kind of speaks to the way our culture was at the time, that for months and months and months after that, I always would say that that year, you always heard people talking about two things in relation to pop culture. One was, Vader was Luke's father, and something else that came a few months later, and that was who shot JR. Like those.
Oh, yes. That's so true.
I always remember those were always the two things that everybody was referencing when it came to like entertainment and pop culture, was Vader being Luke's father and who shot JR. That was like the big thing back in 1980.
Those were the compelling mysteries of our day in that age. And interestingly enough, JR was based on Darth Vader.
Oh, that, okay. Yeah.
Gotta see that just to, you know, without the asthma.
Without the asthma, but with the cowboy hat.
That's right. Which his cowboy hat was based on samurai armor as well.
So
little
so
known
means,
facts there.
That means Jock Ewing would have been like Obi-Wan, or I don't know how that. No, the Emperor. Jock Ewing would have been the Emperor.
Yeah, he would have been the Emperor, and Bobby was.
Sue Ellen was wearing the gold bikini, and
not often enough.
Bobby was busy being the man from Atlantis.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then it all turned out to be a fever dream anyway, so. Apparently rich people's dreams are so rich that they seem like years have transpired just in a nap after a nooner, apparently.
So I think but one of the things that was so compelling is because in Empire, you've got Invader, now you start having some emotions and some, you know, like he feels like I guess you get the impression that he wants something to do with his son, or, you know, I mean, like Nicole says, if you only know that for sure in light of Return of the Jedi, obviously.
Yeah, you have your confirmation.
Yeah. Because, you know, yeah, it's true. It could have turned out that he was lying, you know.
Should
but
have.
Yeah, but you know, like we've discussed in previous shows, the scene where almost got Luke, gets away, and then just kind of walks off, you know, that's Vader kind of depressed, and you know, that's interesting.
Well, I think arguably because the Lucas himself has said that Vader being Luke's father was inspired by fandom.
Right.
It was sort of the inception came from the fans, not from his own, you know, a determination on his part that this be the case from the outset, from the creation of the characters. So, it's like so many things, it becomes a bit of a disjointed argument, but I think, you know, doing as I do, justifying everything I can't explain away with what's given on screen.
So then is it true that when he was creating Star Wars, the script, there was no thoughts of Vader being...
That is correct, yeah. Vader having any children at all was not even the precise origin of Luke's father, other than
Then Alec Guinness having to explain himself by Return, that's, you know, patching all that up, you know.
Exactly. And I did find a way to justify all that. And we did a whole episode called Obi-Wan is a Damn Liar, where we talked about all of those inconsistencies that were perpetuated by episode one.
What I told you was true from a certain point of view. You know, I mean, like, oh, what the hell are you talking about?
When you really don't want to tell people what they ought to know, just tack on a point of view. Trust me, it works. It's amazing.
You know, with that line, later on, with all the different special edition this and DVD release that and Blu-ray edition that, and they kept changing everything, I was half expecting at one point Lucas to change it to where he would say, from a different point of view, and then digitally add in a wink.
Yes.
Got your nose, Luke. But
right?
I think you could argue, though, that point where Vader first encounters his son. So we're going to go ahead and buy all into this, even though that wasn't the plan when this was shot, when this was scripted. There are so many places where you can actually retrofit. So when he first encounters Luke, and he's like, the Force is strong with this one, I think you can say that it's this point where the idea begins to kick in, and then maybe once they got back, you know, once he got his ship back home and the Imperial Network started kicking in, trying to figure out who these saboteurs and rebel scum and terrorist people who just destroyed a perfectly good space station full of people and robots and pretty decent-sized weapon that cost a lot of money.
Yeah, and apparently the dish did that real cool thing that they never showed where it kind of sticks out there, you know. Have you seen the clip?
Oh, yeah. Where they're installing it?
Yeah, sure.
Where the innie becomes an Audi?
Yeah.
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 Well, they have to kind of, like, hammer it in there.
Yeah.
But they basically, you know, you could argue that they go back home and everybody, they're checking all the files and they realize, oh, okay, we positively identified the terrorists. You know, Princess Leia, we knew, you know, she's already on the list. And here's this Han Solo character. And this one, he's new. His name is Luke Skywalker. He's like, mother! <You know>? it becomes like the Big Lebowski. He's like, dude, that's your name, Skywalker. Shut up, Donnie, you're out of your league! Darth, that's your name. I'm the Darth.
Wait a minute, isn't that your name? Well, I can't breathe.
Yeah, exactly.
And I thought I was a bad father. Admiral Deadbeat Dad just got killed.
I guess that's another thing we could discuss about Vader is absolutely zero tolerance for failure. I mean, expects perfection.
Yeah. At all. It becomes kind of a loose cannon by Empire. It's almost like, you know, the Emperor sort of sent him off as punishment to go like, you know, here, look, I tell you what, we're going to put you on administrative leave and give you the biggest ship in the fleet and a whole crew of people I don't like.
Right.
They didn't realize that they were on the shit list until they started coughing like flies.
Have you ever seen the Robot Chicken skit where they explain how they what's really going on?
Yes.
Yeah, where they're only pretending. That's
right. They're all just playing dead and they go change clothes.
That's great.
That was a wonderful take on that particular. But yeah, you see Vader, you know, he captures the captain of the rebel vessel that he's been pursuing. He and his sinister agents have been pursuing. And, you know, his interrogation method is crush your larynx. It's a one-shot thing, you know.
It makes you wonder about Admiral Ozzel. Like, was he off in some remote place and never knew about Vader? He's like this is a new assignment, right?
Yeah.
And he's just like, he doesn't know what's going on, you know? He's like,
yeah, it's like his fleet is like in the remote ass in space.
They never told him, hey, watch Vader. He'll kill you. I mean, so don't mess around.
His fleet just happened to be the one that was in the vicinity of Hoth, and they're like, okay, we're going to hook up with you guys. We want you to lead the assault. And it's like, oh, well, I'll show him my particular prowess. I love surprises. You know, you catch the enemy with your pants down. That's what I learned at the academy. You know.
Oh,
God. I was top of my class in surprise attack. You know, that's not the only method of attack, Ozzel. No. Surprise.
I like the one guy when he reports to Vader. He's like, he felt surprised, was wiser. I'd have been like, yeah, fuck that guy, man. Let's just, you know.
Yeah.
That's right.
But it was like, you know, maybe the guy who reported him knew what the, how best to advance your career.
Right.
Was to get a field rank in, you know. It's like, you could work your way, if you play your cards right, you can work your way up the totem pole pretty pronto by just throwing all of your superiors under the bus. The Vader bus is coming. I'm going to be captain of this ship. It's like, how did you get to be captain? You were like the guy down running the console, pushing buttons and stuff.
I like how you gave him like a little bit of a hillbilly twang there.
That's right.
Like he's a Toyminator or something.
Yeah, he's like from the southern part of the Empire.
I guess so.
Deep southern part of the Empire.
Right.
I'm from the Deep South Nebula. My aim's to work my way to the top. I'm going to be the new Darth Vader. It's not how that works, no. It's not, Darth Vader is not a rank. It's kind of happened.
It ain't?
It ain't? Well, choke me to death.
Not a request.
I've wanted to get rid of that hillbilly for months.
How do you go from being Darth Vader to Mr. Burns?
Excellent.
And there's that great line from Return where he's telling the guy's got to be back on schedule and tells him that the Emperor is not as forgiving as I am.
Yeah, that puts things in perspective. So, yeah. Really.
Oh, well, Darth Vader's really a pretty nice guy.
Yeah. You know, what's worse than choking? I don't want to know what's worse than choking, actually. Let's.
Anything worse would be throwing Mace Windu out the window.
Right.
Or your blue lightning, apparently.
Well, the blue lightning, yeah, that was what it was.
Because apparently, obviously, not only does the blue lightning torture you mercilessly,
yes,
it also brightens your teeth.
Yeah.
One bit where it's like giving the full dental treatment.
Uh-huh.
It's like Crest whitening strips all over his teeth.
Well, it's like when Luke asked Yoda, is the dark side stronger? But Yoda said, yeah, they do have the blue lightning. That's pretty bad.
Forgot to mention that. I did.
Yeah. We don't even get lightning. We got chipped. In fact, we played us.
We can like stop lightning. We've got like the lightning stopping.
Yeah, we can stop it. We can make it into like a little lightning baseball and then throw it back if we need to.
It's true, because when you play, you play Knights of the Republic video game, the dark side gets the blue lightning, and if you're light side, you don't get that.
You just get to
force push people, you know.
So apparently they not only have blue lightning, you know, in addition to cookies, they have blue lightning as well.
I mean, you're on the light side of the forest. You can't even, like, even if you were to rub your feet on a carpet, you still couldn't, you know, even shock them or anything. It just, you don't get anything.
Yeah, you can't even generate static electricity because it's that.
You have to be gentle.
It's that pure.
Yeah, you have to be gentle. Yeah. I mean, no.
You can't even, like, trick people into touching their tongue to a 9-volt battery. None of that. There's, like, zero, you know, and they're... But on the practical offshoot is...
Yeah, there's no attachments and no pranks.
The electric bill on the dark side, though, it is some kind of bad news.
Well, it should be low because they can generate their own electricity.
But you know what would be nice, though, is that if Doc Brown had been able to get the Emperor... Marty! Yeah. Let's just piss off the Emperor. That'll give us the 40,000 gigawatts we need.
Yeah.
And it won't even damage the clock tower, which will die, but...
Yeah, Doc's pissing off the Emperor, he's pissing off the Libyans, he's pissing off everybody.
Everybody, yeah. Only that Emperor were real, Morty. Like, yes, Doc, I understand.
Well, there's that Darth Vader connection in Back to the Future.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
The yellow Darth Vader.
Oh, yes, yes.
From the
yes,
planet Vulcan. Right.
From the planet Vulcan, yes.
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
So,
you know, speaking of which, when that line came up in Back to the Future, you know how excited I got?
You got excited.
I got a little too excited.
As I did in 1977 or 78. I think it was probably 78. When my parents, we all like went on this vacation trip. We were staying with some of their friends in Colorado, and it was around the 4th of July, and they had footage on the news of a 4th of July parade, and there were a bunch of guys, there were like 5 guys dressed as stormtroopers, and it was thrilling, but there were 5 guys dressed as stormtroopers in the, you know, like 15 years before the 501st.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
But nobody.
It was in 77?
78, summer of 78.
Okay, 78. All right, yeah.
So it's still kind of thrilling because nobody had that stuff yet.
Right.
And nowadays you see like 40 guys in Stormtrooper outfits. Like, yeah, I see that like every 10 weeks.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a great feat to come up with a Stormtrooper costume in 78. Sure, yeah.
Yeah, you just, you know, you had some serious fun. You had to like know a guy who knew a guy.
Yeah, you had to know a guy.
some guy who like fabricated fiberglass stuff for, you know, custom cars and things like that. Yeah, I built a monkey mobile. I can make your armor.
Gosh. You want pinstripes on it?
That's right. Anything you want, you know.
Well, now that you mention it, pinstripes would kind of... No. Pinstripes.
I can even get you the Batman nipples, whatever those are.
God.
But I guess another thing about Vader is that, to me, he's kind of like structured and organized to a certain degree. Like, in contrast to Kylo Ren, right? He's you know, Vader didn't do that kind of thing, like flipping out and destroying everything. I mean, orderly, you know.
Yeah, that's true. He got all that
disciplined.
Yeah, he got disciplined. All that out on the Tusken Raiders when he was young. And after that, he was cool.
Yeah. Right.
But he doesn't have washboard abs like Kylo Ren does, apparently.
No.
Apparently.
I heard he's cut.
Oh, that's right. Saw him in the shower. He's got an 8-pack. I guess David has not seen the, if you get a chance, look up was it Undercover Boss Kylo Ren?
Yeah, Matt, the Ranger technician.
It is absolutely brilliant. It was a Saturday Night Live when Adam Driver was on there. And they very, very well produced. But Yeah, Vader definitely has that sort of part of the presence, I think, is that disciplined nature. I mean, like I said earlier, it was a bit of a loose cannon. I think sometimes when he gets really pissed off, he just, you know, he sort of kills people, but it serves a purpose.
Right.
Because it does send a message, you know, to, I've been reading a lot of Jack Reacher lately, and one of the lines was something about, when you make a threat to send a message, that's to the individual. When you actually carry it out, that's to other people. Sending a message that will do the work.
And then there's an interesting thing that Vader did in Empire, which I need theories.
All right.
Boba Fett goes to shoot Chewie, and Vader stops it.
That
Why?
Has been a mystery. I need to write extensively on that sometime. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, why does Vader care if Chewie gets shot? He didn't give a crap, right? I mean, normally that's what you would think.
The only thing I can imagine is there's a couple of different approaches. My favorite fan theory was he didn't want 3PO to get shot.
Ah.
Because he created 3PO, which is a bad...
My theory is that he needed Chewie to be there to... Because remember, he's trying to get Luke to come.
Yeah.
And Luke is coming because of all this emotion. So it's better for Chewie to be alive and be generating more emotions and feelings and conflict.
That's good.
And yeah.
Yeah, I like
that. I like that. That makes more sense than all these other theories that have floated around on the interwebs.
Yeah, the only other thing I could say is that Vader, because in his youth, at least, he was a bit of a whiz with mechanical things and, you know, built his own droid, and he'd put stuff together and fix stuff for Watto and all.
Yeah, he
might have been one of those people who's like, no, you don't really want to shoot your gun in an airplane. you don't want to fire off your blaster rifle in a carbon freezing chamber. That anybody in here is armed is a conceit. We're just trying to look powerful. Seriously, every single one of these stormtroopers is under strict orders never to touch their gun, no matter what happens. if the rebels try to pull anything, dogpile them. I don't want to get blowed up. You don't want to get blowed up.
Mm.
This is a bad situation here. In fact, I tell you what. Take your ammo out of your guns before you come in here. And then here comes Boba Fett, like, oh, we forgot to tell the new guy. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, David, you brought up the fact that Vader is so much more cool and he has it together than Kylo Ren. See, I've always thought that about... See, and the thing is, Kylo Ren is a Knight of the Ren. He's from the Knights of Ren. Whereas Vader... And this is why I always thought about Darth Maul. The way they played the Darth Maul character was Darth Maul was very cool and calm and collected also. And then when you think about it a little further, so was Count Dooku. Like I think it's just something about the Sith that's part of their training is they train them to be so honed and cool and just in control. As opposed to, like, who knows what the Knights of Ren are teaching their disciples. You know, and that's probably why Kylo Ren just, it's all about this acting out on his emotions.
And also trying to be something that existed, or that ceased to exist before he was even born. Kylo Ren has bought wholeheartedly into the legend of Darth Vader.
Exactly, without never having met him.
Yeah, and never really knowing what it was like. He just hears all these tales and he's, you know, got some Imperial archives that the First Order fed him, and you know, he's all over this whole thing, because he is literally, as Yoda said, the dark side is the more seductive. And he is just he lives for this, but he doesn't understand it. So it kind of goes down to the doctrine of a true master of the martial arts is one who can kill you with his bare hands, but doesn't. Because that ability is tempered with discipline. And the knowledge gained through training and experience where, you know, somebody goes and watches a few kung fu movies and goes around and starts trying to kick, you know, like kick their friend off the front porch or something. It's a personal reference.
You know, it's funny that you say that, Cole, because that plays in perfectly with the backstory on the G.I. Joe Resolute animated movie. Because in it, Storm Shadow was all bent out of shape because the master who trained him in Snake Eyes, he had this thing where he had like a 5-move little combo that if he did this, it would kill the person. And Storm Shadow can never learn it, and then you find out at the end of the movie that Snake Eyes has known this move his whole life and has never acted on it because he could do it, but he doesn't need to.
Exactly.
So it plays in perfectly with what you just said about.
Oh yeah, and that's the real axiom of the true pursuit of the martial arts. It's not about going out and beating people up. It's about being able to have all of that at your disposal if you need it. You know, it's like Mr. Miyagi and Karate Kid. Like, you know, can you split a board like that in your hand? Don't know. Never been attacked by.
It's like in high school. It's like in high school, and I got into a fight, and then I took karate, and then I never got to use it.
Yeah.
I had all this power, and I just had to, you know.
Just never came up again.
Yeah, never came up again.
Everyone knew that you knew had that, so they didn't want to mess with
like,
again.
All right, somebody, come on.
That's because David was walking around with that white headband with the red sun, and it like Daniel's son was.
That's right.
Does he really know martial arts, or is he just cosplaying as the Karate Kid?
So I think the final topic about Darth Vader is the redemption of Darth Vader. So,
it becomes it embodies the circle is now complete.
Yeah.
Where you go from the innocence of Anakin to the redemption of Anakin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, what Vader saw as, you know, I've become better than my master. I'm top dog. The real circle was not yet complete because he had to experience all of these things.
My personal theory is that maybe he didn't want to admit it to himself, but there was a strong emotional connection pull to his son. And when he saw that the Emperor was going to kill his son, that was it. You snapped.
Not gonna happen.
You can even extrapolate backward.
Yeah.
In that he senses Obi-Wan. He confronts him as the pupil who has left the order and embraced the antithesis thereof and is therefore the more powerful. You kept me from this power. This is where it's really at. And ultimately, you know, when Obi-Wan sacrifices himself, that literally opens the door for him to sense his son. And then he finally, you know, is trying to make that connection. And you can see this sort of, I think more accidental than intentional, but a kind of a cycle of experiences that carry Vader toward the ultimate redemption. And you said, at the point where it's just like, you know, he really begins to see Palpatine, to see his master.
Yes.
To actually, you know, as he says at the end, to look upon him with his own eyes, he starts to see him in a different light.
By the way, that scene reveals the weakness of the lightning because if you get picked up while you're doing lightning, you can't move. It just freezes you.
And that's true. Pretty much you have to go all in.
So otherwise, you're frozen, and then somebody can just chuck you down into the abyss, and you can't do anything about it.
But most people don't think about that. They're just in awe of the lightning.
I always thought that it was because the Emperor suffered from the sciatic nerve, and so when Vader picked it up, it activated that, and so he just kind of locked up into place.
Oh, he just sort of grabbed him, just happened to grab him the right way.
Right.
Plus,
so
that...
Had he been going to his chiropractor, he should have been. He would have been okay. Yeah.
But I also want to point out that Vader was picking him up with one hand.
That's right.
That was hand, and the other hand, feet. He was like up under the Emperor's shoulder, up in his, inside that joint with what was effectively a sparking taser.
Yes.
Because he had like all these loose wires that were just sparking away. Little wonder he froze up. He's like, oh, so this is what it feels like.
It was the severed, the stump of the severed hand was acting as a taser?
Yes, it was an electric hand.
That's brilliant.
Or maybe it was because the Emperor hadn't actually fought anybody in like 20 years or something,
that's
right?
That's true.
Yeah. You know, he forgot.
It could be that too.
He did a lot of sitting.
Let's just say it's a combination of all three.
Yeah. Yeah, because let me tell you, a little
it was style the, it was the perfect storm.
Exactly. It was the, normally you don't have to worry too much about how you kind of get stove up using the Force Lightning. But normally you're not like 100 and some guy's tasing you.
And you know, it's the contrast when you see in that scene between the Emperor and Vader, like the Emperor likes to taunt and we're safe from your friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you know, Vader doesn't do that. He's very polite and firm. And
yeah, you know, we'd be honored if you join us. And
yeah, exactly.
If the Emperor had been there,
he'd be like,
would you like to come and have some dinner with us so we can lure in your little friend?
Exactly. No respect. Oh,
little Luke wasn't invited. Let's invite him in. What a jerk.
Wait a second. I thought Mark Hamill was Luke, not the Joker in this. I was like, when did the Emperor become the Joker? It's like the Mark Hamill Joker as the Emperor.
Yeah.
So it's like, is Mark Hamill playing against himself in this scene now all of a sudden?
My Emperor voices are all over the place. Like Darth Vader is Mr. Burns or vice
versa. It's like that episode of the Adam West Batman where Bruce Wayne was talking to Batman on two different phones to himself.
That's right.
Well, yes, Batman. Well, thank you, Batman. Well, Batman, you sound like Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne, you sound like Batman. Can you at least change your voice, Adam West?
That's right.
Oh, goodness.
My goodness, I never realized you sound just like me. Well, that's amazing. I hadn't thought about that either, Bruce Wayne. Not my alter ego.
You're right. Oh,
remember to get Aunt Harriet's pills? Don't go! I did it! Why would Batman know this?
So then also, do you think, did Darth Vader die because he was injured or because he needed the dark side to be kept alive? Does anybody have a theory on that?
I've always kind of took that as the injury from the Force Lightning. Like
when, yeah, okay.
I think
because at that point, the combination of the rigors of the Force Lightning, you could see what it was doing to Luke. You could, you got a nice little x-ray picture of his head bone there.
Right, that's true.
The combination of that and probably a lot of the circuitry, since he was more machine than man anyway at this point.
Yeah.
Right.
Probably messed with a lot of violent stuff. And Luke's not going to have time to go, like, find the spare parts bin.
Right.
And so, plus he was old too, so.
And unfortunately, he kicked Watto to the curb long ago, and
Watto
didn't have any spare parts for him. Yeah, he had all.
That's true. That's true.
But then that would mean, driving him over to Tatooine, which apparently has been a milk run in the original films, to the point where it's little wonder people mistook Jakku for Tatooine.
So then, as an epilogue, how did Kylo Ren get the melted mass? Did he go to Endor and dig through the forest there and
eBay.
Yeah.
eBay. Yeah.
See, I've thought of that and I kind of wondered, did Luke have it in his possession at some point, and as he was training under Luke, he stole it,
kind of like take away the totem or something.
Or maybe Solo went and picked it up,
That's the other thing is I thought because
well, what'd you say, David?
Han Solo picked it up,
Oh,
yeah. Or Leia.
Or Leia, right.
Because he is Leia's son.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to get that guy's skull for like a trophy.
Yeah, well, Leia could have got the helmet out just like to keep as a reminder.
Yeah, of that bastard choice of me.
But that's a theme in these movies, if you think about it. Look what Boba Fett did with Jango Fett's helmet. He kept
his. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, at least it was easier with Vader's helmet. You just had to kind of like shake the ashes out.
Yeah, I mean, like, Boba Fett had to, like, undo the chin strap and the head had to plop out.
Yeah,
you know,
he takes something out when there's this Jango head falling down in the sand. And then it's like, you gotta hose that thing down afterward.
And then, yeah.
But I still think it was a debasement of his grandfather that he kept the helmet in the litter box. That is one big turd. What did your cat eat? Oh, I'm sorry. That's your granddad's helmet. That's Grampy's helmet. What are you?
Grampy.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of helmets, are we to assume that Kylo Ren lost his helmet during Force Awakens after Chewie shot him? He didn't pick it up and run off.
Yeah, well, he'd already dropped it on the, and apparently, it is a damn heavy helmet.
Yes, that doom.
Like, dang, either that or that is the most.
No wonder he's got neck problems. He's
either that or that bridge was made out of tuning forks.
Right.
Like, good night.
Because obviously he didn't have it on outside, you know. You'd think he would have put it on so he wouldn't be so cold outside, but, you know.
Well, not like he had a choice. The whole place was starting to blow up, so.
Yeah. So are we going to see a melted Kylo Ren helmet in the next one?
I hope so. With like a little bit, you know, where it's like actually fused to the metal on the bridge.
Right.
So there's like a little section of handrail still stuck to it.
Which that's fused to a piece of rock that got blasted away during the explosion or something.
And then there's like it's fused to a piece of Han Solo. Ah!
Oh!
Too soon? I think, though, that you bring up a good point because I think they're effectively giving themselves an excuse to give him a different helmet. That a lot of people are like, oh, why couldn't they keep the same helmet? They get the same helmet for Vader. Well, number one, he never took it off and left it somewhere. Mm-hmm. Not the only times he ever took it off was while it was being put back on.
Right.
And but you would make you would the think, guy, like, throw up a bit in his throat.
But you would think Kylo Ren would have had spares. Like, you know, like Christian Bale Batman did with the Batman. You know, he ordered, like, 10,000 of them, you know, because it was cheap.
Well, it's not like they had to keep it a secret like Batman did. I don't want anyone to know I'm Kylo Ren.
I'm Matt, the radar technician.
That's right. Looking forward to meeting some nice folks.
Yeah, that just gave me an idea for like a spinoff where it's like secret Darth Vader, like he's a normal guy during the day, and then he puts on his suit
Alter
to go
ego.
Out to, like, to do evil at night.
It's like I'm Anakin Skywalker, the orderly at the Death Star Hospital. With this shape and face, like, we all feel sorry for Anakin Skywalker. He's got the burned up face, but he's come to take care of us all here at the hospital.
Right.
I'm Darth Vader.
I never knew Anakin looked so much like David Prowse.
In fact, speaking of that, I saw a production photo that David Prowse was actually in makeup in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah?
It's actually his noggin there that's having the helmet installed.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, I saw a picture where, you know, it was the front and back views of the original makeups. He's Darth Vader.
All these years, I thought it was like Kathleen Kennedy. You know, they just put makeup on her. Or something.
Yeah.
You know, they did like, you know, like with Friday the 13th, where spoiler alert, when, you know, Mrs. Voorhees gets her head cut off, you know, and you see like the neck stump and her hands are coming up, reaching for whatever. That's not really her hands. That's one of the guys who did the special effects.
Oh. Okay.
That's why she's got these manly, hairy knuckles.
I just thought
that's was like, really I was like, well, you know, David Prowse wasn't around that day, so let's put the makeup on Kathleen Kennedy, and she can stand.
Yes, indeed.
And if I remember correctly,
Darth Vader has a nice ass.
It's pretty early in the canon that I think I remember reading that early on in Star Wars that it was revealed that Obi-Wan was the one that messed up Darth Vader like that.
Yes.
Is that true? Yeah.
There was always like Obi-Wan and lava.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was like very early on that was revealed.
And so, you know, we kind of got that.
Yeah. And we saw that, we're like, oh my God, Obi-Wan's horrible.
Yeah.
Either Lucas mentions that or it's mentioned. I have the magazine somewhere in my collection. Yeah. I'd had to go dig out, but in the, I went back and reread it after years and years and years. They make reference that, and it, the magazine's from like 77 or 78.
Oh, yeah.
And it talks about Obi-Wan being the one that messed up Anakin Skywalker, and you're right, Cole, they make mention of a lava situation. Right. Scenario.
Yeah, apparently, like, fell in lava or something. That was always going to be the case. And the thing about it is, we didn't really get that as effectively as we could have because it's in this weird nightmarescape of CG surroundings that you're not really sure, you know, and jumping around on robots and stuff.
Right.
It turned it into Frogger. But We didn't get the battle we should have, but I actually felt that made sense that Vader got the way he did in a climactic battle against his former master and that he narrowly escapes. And, you know, therein feeds on that resentment and, you know, that resentment helps fuel his path to the dark side.
And along those same lines, I just throw this in there. This actually came to me this past week from one of our listeners, Michael Ryan. He had shared a theory with me that in A New Hope, when Obi-Wan says Uncle Owen said, you know, when Luke was asking about Obi-Wan, and he said he died the same time as your father. And he was saying that is a reference to that scene where, you know, in Revenge of the Sith, when Vader ceases to be Anakin and becomes Darth Vader, that's when Obi-Wan ceased to be Obi-Wan and became Ben Kenobi. Like, they both died that day. Anakin and Obi-Wan.
From a certain point of view.
Yes, they both died that day on that planet. And they each were reborn as a new person, Vader and Ben.
And also, the ominous line, he has too much of his father in him, you know, played very well ultimately into the Darth Vader, Luke father.
Sure.
It actually became more poignant in retrospect. But the reality was, I think that it was just meant as kind of a throwaway where he's like, you know, I think he's too rebellious, too adventuresome. I need a farm hand. I don't need kid with his head in the clouds. And,
you know. But it plays perfectly to the scenario of Uncle Owen knowing that Vader was his father.
There's a couple of points where they kind of dumbed into it, even though that was not the original intention. And the other one is, and I talk about this in my justification, where Obi-Wan is asked about Vader, and there is a pregnant pause in the dialogue to drive a truck through.
Yes, yes.
And that plays well. I mean, you know, the interview seemed like a cop-out.
Yeah.
But accidentally, here is that point of view being formulated.
Right. He's like, oh, man, I better think fast.
Think, Ben, think. Come on, Ben, you can do it.
I'll tell you that story, Luke, but first let me go to the bathroom. It may be a while.
I'm old and I'm kind of cramped.
Has anybody seen bad lip reading? Because
I ate a lot of cheese earlier, and it's going to take me a while to pass this.
Bad lip reading, you said, David?
Yeah, bad lip reading. They redo the scenes and put in alternate.
Yes. I've seen the one for that though.
Yeah, they did that one too. So that's funny.
I'll have to look for that. Well,
my memory of that scene has been corrupted by bad lip reading. So be careful.
Okay.
Oh, no, it's like things that get ruined by.
I've seen the one for Luke and Yoda for Empire. Right. And floored me. It was so hilarious. Oh my gosh, that floored me.
So we're coming up probably exceeding the hour now, and really appreciate David taking the time to work with us as we fought technical difficulties. We fought Skype, fought Dix. Remember when Richard Dix came in here and tried to take over?
Oh, gosh.
I have to quote Blazing Saddles from time to time. But while
we have to say, we have to say this before we exit out, since we are on the topic of Darth Vader.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, we're about a month behind on this, but better late than never. We wanted to give a big happy birthday to the man, David Prowse.
Who is Darth Vader.
Who is Darth Vader. Yes, we make jokes, but he is. He turned 81 on July 1st. So it's just about a month back, but like I said, better late than never. So happy birthday.
Tied into the Force of July.
And there apparently,
you go. There you go.
And apparently we're going to see more of Darth Vader coming up in the future.
Yes.
Yes.
I was going to say before we close, when we were warming up or when we were trying to get everything working during one of the conversations, I had just opened up looking for
Darth
Vader. And there was a clickbait headline from a day ago for Rogue One.
Yeah.
It says Rogue One cast will include Darth Vader, but not the guy who shot him at a dinner party.
And no Jawas either.
I mean, it's like,
and no Jar Jar for that matter.
No Ewoks.
No Ewoks.
That is such a lame.
I know, what kind of? I mean, it's a long way Boba, to go for nothing. Of course,
no Boba Fett.
Sorry.
Because the universe The universe is so small. We expect all of these people to show up in 2 hours.
Well, we were spoiled by Phantom Menace. Here we got to see R2-D2, C-3PO.
It wanted the deleted scenes. You even get Greedo as a.
That's what prompted in the tail end of Wizard had their toy magazine Toy Fair. Would do Twisted Toy Fair Theater. And when they weren't just doing fart jokes and stuff all the time, they occasionally were actually brilliantly funny. And they reproduced the scene where Yoda is saying his goodbyes and, goodbye, Chewbacca. Goodbye, Scarecrow. No, but they had it where he's like, goodbye, Tarful. Goodbye, young Chewbacca. Goodbye, young Han Solo. Goodbye, young Millennium Falcon.
What?
Young Millennium Falcon. Yes, that you
it was so young. It was so young. It was not yet a Millennium.
That's right. So
gosh,
Lord, it's just like goodbye, Centennial Falcon.
Yes, right. So this clickbait thing was true. That's obviously preying on people who have never seen Star Wars or saw it back in 77 and never again. Because they'd be like, wait a second, what? And then,
But aren't Darth Vader and Han Solo joined to the hip? No, there's no point in having Han Solo.
They're the same person.
Bless them for not putting Han Solo in the picture.
Right.
Because we were dangerously close in Episode 3 to a young Han Solo being raised on Kashyyyk.
Oh, my God.
I've seen the production sketches for the costume.
That would have been horrible. That would have been
That really would have been young Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, that young Millennium. But that's just preying on people who don't really know Star Wars, and it reminds me of back when Phantom Menace came out. There was this one lady who trashed the Phantom Menace because she said the actor they got to play the young boy doesn't even look like Luke Skywalker. I'm like, what? This is because it's not Luke Skywalker, dummy.
Oh, my.
They could have picked someone that looked more like the actor that played Luke Skywalker when he was an adult.
Like Star Wars happened to other people.
Right.
Not to you, madam.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
I was like, point did you miss the name Anakin and hear Luke all do that movie?
I guess he just zeroed in on Skywalker. So.
Right.
So, any closing thoughts on the Dark Lord of the Sith himself?
Go for it.
Yes. Vader, may he live forever.
Viva la Vader.
Viva la Vader.
But what about Darth Vader?
Yeah.
was never seen after that button in which it was pronounced that he lives, and then that was it. We never saw Darth Vader.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess in closing, I want to run through a quick little thing. I was developing this, I think, for VaderCast. Speaking of Vader, were my first podcast, as you know. And, you know, we did things like the scrap heap with all the droids that were rejected, like, you know, the X-ray droid ICN2U. And I wanted to do a thing where did we wind up doing it on this show? I'm old people. I don't remember what I've done anymore. Where we were, had an interchange of different Vaders or, different Sith Lords. Because, like, Vader and Sidious both are, basically dropping the letters off of words like Invader and Insidious. And it got me to thinking of other Sith Lords like, you know, Darth Sipid.
Mm.
Or Darth Secure.
Or Darth Sect.
Very good. Darth Trepid, for example.
Darth Trepid.
David, do you have
any? Actually, Darth Trepid wouldn't be a bad name for
him. I know, some of them actually work. That's a frightening thing.
My mind is a blank, sorry.
What is your skinifier? Naked stuff.
Well, since David threw out Viva La Vader, I'll say Viva La Chad Vader.
Oh, wow.
Because if you haven't seen the Chad Vader videos,
yes.
You gotta look at those up. Those are hilarious.
Yes, I have seen Chad Vader. It's, I mean, you know.
I love those. Cause I used
on
to
the one hand,
huh?
I mean, on the one hand, it's funny, but then it's disrespecting Vader, and I don't know.
Okay, I will tell the vintage joke that my dad was very proud to tell me back in 77.
Yeah.
That someone naturally told him, your boy likes Star Wars, does he? He'll love this one. About why Ella Fitzgerald refused Darth Vader's proposal, his marriage proposal.
Ella Fitzgerald. Okay.
Yeah, because she did not want to become Ella Vader.
It would be
a relationship with its ups and downs, folks.
Good night.
I
love Chad Vader only because not only did I used to work in a grocery store, but the grocery store I worked in looks eerily similar to Chad Vader. And
Chad
the people that he works with, kid you not, I worked with every type of those characters.
So somebody knew their stuff from grocery stores.
Right, they sure did. They worked at Cost Plus like I did.
Wow.
Well, remember the power of Vader. There's a clip from a Star Wars exhibit at Disneyland where the little girl bows to Vader, if you remember that one.
Wow.
Yes, because they're doing the little skit, and she's supposed to – no, she bows because of the honor, you know, because of the power of Vader.
Yeah.
It's, you know, yeah, little children, they know. That's what you're supposed to do.
They know to bow to their lord and master.
Yeah.
Darth Vader. That's old Samuel Jackson. Or Mace Windu. He'd still be alive.
That's right. He'd only bowed.
Or Admiral, for that matter.
If Admiral Oswald just hadn't been so full of surprises.
Right. Oh.
That Vader was still singing from the surprise party he threw. Oh, yeah.
Right.
I've got a little surprise for you, Oswald. It's called asphyxiation. So on that note, we will, David, thank you very much again for joining us on California time. And Eddie, thank you for taking time out to make this happen in time for this is our final episode of the pre-recorded show during the 4th of July, which ideally you are listening to this after having just watched the live stream of the Rancor Pit Live. Mm-hmm. On Deep Ellum on Air. I'm sorry, on WatchOnAirLive.com. I'm still channeling our past on that show.
I do the same thing.
So,
and you still have a few days to purchase your tickets for Infinicon.
Yes, indeed. Eddie and I will be at Infinicon 2016, the brand new show in Addison, Texas.
The very first year for Infinicon.
Sure, you can find out about that. Go to Convention Awareness Project Texas, cap-tx.info. Click on Infinicon. Get the link to their website. Get your passes.
Or you could just go to Infinicon.net, but we want you to. But we want you to go through Cap Texas.
You can't go if you don't know, damn it.
Yeah, that's right.
New slogan. You can't go if you don't know, damn it. So
While you're at Infinicon, come find me and Cole, because we will be debuting our new Rancor Pit trading cards, and you can get them from us and get them signed by us.
That's right, at no extra charge, because we're not charging for them. And huh? We can, you can also find us, we'll be doing on Sunday at from noon to 1 at Infinicon. That's the 7th of August. On that Sunday, we're doing the Rancor Pit live. We will not be broadcasting from the studios. We'll be actually producing it live at Infinicon, though it won't be live streaming, so don't go looking for it online right away.
And that's at noon Central?
At noon Central, yes. The entire weekend will be on Central Time.
Oh, I guess so. I'm on broadcast mode.
Yes.
So we always had to say Central for the live show, and I'm like in that mode.
Well, on Friday the 5th, you can check out Do You Like the Star Wars, the game show that comprises all 7 theatrical episodes of Star Wars, plus the droids, good lord, the Rebels and the Clone Wars cartoon series as the categories. And on, I believe, on Sunday... on Saturday, rather, we have the Galactic Games live.
Mm-hmm. Which is at 5 o'clock, is that correct?
Yes, indeed. It's going to be a mix of trivia and a lot of other really cool aspects, including some games we can't tell you about till you're there and it's too late and you're on stage as a contestant. So
that's right.
Be sure and check that out, amongst many other things. And Eddie and I have been... brought in to be the official MCs of the Tournament of Costumes on Friday evening. Mm-hmm. So be sure and check that out. We'll be presiding over that, and I will be moderating panels with their Star Wars guests. So I'm going to be doing all kinds of stuff out there. You can write to us at jcumail@yahoo.com. Look for our tweets on Twitter at @TheJediColdU. And, Eddie, where can we find your art?
Just find me at eddiemedina.com. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and DeviantArt. So go find me.
Find Eddie.
Yeah.
And remember...
I'm like Waldo.
Remember, everybody, we are your father. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with more Simple Tricks and Nonsense.